to this chapter is perhaps in the Old Testament one of the most beautiful chapters to read, because it is arguably the only time in the whole of Israel's history where such a spirit was displayed, never to be seen easily again. And this is why it's so beautiful. And you know, looking at the whole challenge of a living sacrifice is just really so significant. Let's turn to 1 Chronicles, chapter 29. Can you imagine this sacrifice that was made in verse 21? We read, "And they made sacrifices to the Lord, and offered burnt offerings to the Lord on the next day." Look at what we are reading in this text here. And we read, 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, 1,000 lambs, with their drink offering. Now watch this drink offering, because it's going to come up later on in Philippians 2 as we study this drink offering concept. "And sacrifices in abundance for all Israel." And you just imagine, can you imagine a worship of 1,000? Look at this. Bulls, rams, lambs. On duty to be able to do this would be literally thousands of Levites and priests to attend to this. This is one of the most magnificent pictures of what it means to offer a sacrifice to God, which has not ever been literally duplicated, not even in Solomon's time. And this is the only period of Israel's history where all the people were able to offer this kind of worship. What is this secret? Let's take a look. 1 Chronicles 29. This is on top of everything else. There are a few words which stand out right now. In 1 Chronicles 29, we read of Solomon's provision. And we see this very obvious. 1 to 5, we see provision of gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, onyx, precious stones, marble. And this provision is absolutely staggering. I mean, something to think about. At every Olympic award of a country to host the games, we are now talking the preparation for the country in terms of billions, no longer millions. Ever since Sydney 2000, that bar has raised up. Now China. You know, we are looking at a situation where literally the whole country would set aside provision of billions just to get things done. Here, single-handedly, one man did this. And I am really, really impacted and impressed. What would make a person provide like this? Think about this. You see, our giving is not the same as David's provision. When we give, very often we give out of the abundance that we have. We give maybe a little bit more. but nothing like this. Of all the entire Old Testament, nobody matches David in giving. Nobody. Not Solomon. Why? Because whatever he had came from his father. So this is provision extraordinary. In every sense of the word, it is outstanding in ways beyond our comprehension. But this is provision. Now, we go on further. How could he make such provision? In verse 2, we read, and he said, "Now for the house of my God I have prepared." Now the word preparation will keep coming up. Take a look. In verse, the word preparation comes out again as you read further in verse 3. "I have prepared for the holy house." And there is that preparation. There is no mistaking this whole idea of wanting to prepare. To understand the concept of what it means to be a living sacrifice, you've got to look for the expression. Because if we were to talk about an understanding of a concept without the expression, we would be missing the point. But you cannot have expression without preparation. I think this is something that we need to look at very, very carefully. And it is a wonderful heart that he had. He said, "I have prepared with all my might. I have prepared for the holy house." And it's something that we need to look at very carefully. And you know, it's something that you need to think about carefully. What is this thing that we are considering? Consider this. Go on deeper. 1 Chronicles 29. He said, "It is because I have set my affection on the house of my God." So there's provision. There's preparation. There is affection. And this is something that we cannot dismiss. We have to give proper consideration to this. You cannot do it any other way. You can never talk about the concept of having a living sacrifice without understanding. How do I express it? Where is the provision? Where is the preparation? Where is the affection? These are concepts we will take up next week, where we go into study at a deeper level. And it's quite a bit of a challenge. And so there came the challenge. The challenge was this. In verse 5, David addressed the people and he said, "Who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord?" And there is your consecration. So there are 1, 2, 3, 4 aspects behind the living sacrifice idea, which we will be studying in greater depth. And it is a wonderful concept. It is a really, really precious and a beautiful concept. 1, 2, 3, and 4. Now, why I call this chapter one of the most startling chapters, one of the most prized chapters, is because we see here there is solid congregational response. We're not having a building fund here. We're not asking people we're not raising funds in any way. We're looking at the concept behind it all. And the people responded. In 29 verse 9, we read, verse 6 to begin with, "The leaders of the fathers' houses, leaders of the tribes of Israel, captains of thousands and hundreds, officers of the king's work, offered willingly." And this is what we read in verse 9. This is what we read. then the people rejoice. You see, they caught the spirit of David. They saw his provision. Immediately, they wanted to respond. They saw his preparation. They saw his affection. They saw his consecration. And immediately, they wanted to respond. That's what it takes. I think this is something that we all need to look at very carefully. This is what it takes. You cannot speak of a living sacrifice concept without somebody to say, this is what it means. And people will say, we recognize that, we will respond. And so you now have a combination. Joy, willingness, loyal heart, and of course they gave. Perhaps not as much, but they gave willingly to the Lord. Now, we want to take up one more thought, and then we will literally prepare our hearts and our minds for what we're going to study over on Friday and on Saturday. And that is, you know, a sense of deep motivation. What is it that will cause people to look at? What would cause people like David to do as he did? To be so motivated to this point? And there are two things that we hope that we will uncover. You see, it's not an emotional response. Emotional responses don't last very long. But it is important for us to consider. And this is a challenge that we want to look at. I like David's prayer a lot. And he begins with, "Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever." You know, he listed at least, look at it, 8 different things about God that he was so impressed by, that he was so impacted by, that this is the reason why he was able to give, to provide, to prepare as he did. I don't know whether you think about this. So he begins with saying, "Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness." Have you considered lordship in the real sense of the word? And you say, you know, I am looking at this issue of lordship. So this is God. And to know God is to be so deeply motivated. I think that's the challenge. How can we be deeply motivated? He calls him our Father forever and ever. Again, you look at this whole idea of motivation. He thinks of God and His power. You think of God and His glory. Think of God and the victory. Think of God and the majesty. He thinks of God, "Yours is the kingdom, O Lord." And he calls him, "You are exalted as head over all. You reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand is to make great and to give strength to all." One of the greatest challenges, and I hope that we will find this at the retreat, is to catch a glimpse of who God really is. Every year, every retreat, to catch a deeper and deeper understanding of who God is. And to be so deeply impacted as a result that you are motivated. Because that's what counts. In a world today, many people donate money because they want a name. Because there are lots of reasons. It's for a tax break. of whatever reason. People donate to cats and dogs even. Or whatever. But you know, the motivation here is absolutely pure in every sense of the word. See, a lot of people have not moved beyond, I have faith in God, and my knowledge of God, my faith in God motivates me. That's one of the challenges we want to try to look at as we study at a YG retreat. You see, we can speak of a faith in God. We can speak of some knowledge of God. But it is not necessarily true that we can say we are now deeply motivated by our understanding of God, by our knowledge of God, and whatever else we may think about. People over in Burma were very surprised. They were stunned that I would go to Burma at all during the week. And I just simply said that I'm there because there are needs to be met. You know, there is a building project. We managed to get a 15-day extension. Not that it will go very far. But there were many other things to be done there. Decisions have to be made. To me, I take a look at it. This is the Lord's work. This is the Lord. And it has to be done. That's all there is to it. But to the local people, it is not the same. Before I knew it, I was receiving telephone calls from people whom I don't even expect to hear from. One of them was from an old friend whom I have not heard from for, 30 years? And he said he's teaching at one of the local Bible schools, and he's in the U.S., he's a U.S. citizen now, and he said, I heard from them that you were ill, and yet you are here. I said, huh? Where do you get that from? You know, so I asked our own school, do you know this person? They said, no. Well, how do you know, how did they know I was sick? How do you know that I was there despite his illness? You see, to the people there, it just by being there was to teach a message that they have not heard before, that they have never seen. And yet, really, what is this lesson? It all stems from a true understanding of who God really is. Am I making sense to you? He is just who He is. And if we truly understand this God, then it must be a realization that this is the God. This knowledge of God, this faith in God must motivate us to do the things that we must. You see the whole idea of motivation? I think it's a really powerful source. Here is motivation, the purest form, God Himself. That's what we want to try to see, whether we can consider this at the YAG retreat. Now, I'm not giving anything away as to what we're going to study at the YAG retreat. I just want to tell you how David understood it. What we're studying at the YAG retreat is nothing related to David. We are going to study even something deeper. But here is a second reason for the motivation. And this is a very humbling thing. Okay? We read in verse 14, but who am I? Who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. I think David was right. Don't make a big do out of what we give. What we give is nothing. Literally nothing. But look at how he understood himself. Suddenly, this particular text became so much more real to me. Consider this, verse 15. Look at this. We are aliens, pilgrims. Can you see this? Our days on earth are as a shadow without hope. You know, something that I thought I had a better glimpse of since last Thursday, Friday. On Thursday night, as I was working at home, staring at a computer, I was having a drink, and the first sign there was something wrong was when I could not hold water in my mouth. I couldn't understand why. So I switched off the computer and I said, better rest up. Next morning, I saw that my lower lip had swollen quite badly. I just checked with the doctor only yesterday to ask why this lower lip was so swollen. He said it's part of the whole problem. I still came to church. And then I began to realize that increasingly the numbness was there. It was as if the dentist had given me an injection. I couldn't feel anymore. You know, every day I look at the mirror. Every day I stare and I try to use my right eye and I cannot. I can move my left nostril. I cannot use my right nostril. I can make the sight smile. I cannot use this to smile. And every day I look at it, and suddenly you begin to realize what David is saying here. What is our life on this earth? Our days on earth are as a shadow. No matter how long that shadow, wherever the sun will cast, it is very short. Stand one day and watch your own shadow. It may look very large when you're a child. I used to play this game. Wow, the sun shadow will look so huge. And as you grow older, you begin to realize, no matter how huge, it is only a shadow. And then the thought, without hope. Now, I don't fool myself into thinking that I will have definite 100% recovery. I do not tell myself that. I hope, but I'm not sure. Neither will a doctor say you're certainly going to get 100% recovery. I do not know what is the extent of the paralysis, but it is paralysis. But you know, to live life without any sense of hope for the future, without any sense of hope for eternity, is to live a terribly bleak life. You know, on the one hand, we are motivated by the greatness of God. On the other hand, we look at how frail the human being really, really is. It is frightening. It really is. You know, and it's something that we all are deeply concerned about. We are challenged by. There were a number of things that really, really struck me, and they were telling me, reports came in. Oh, by the way, Pastor, we in Burma, they check out people very like that. They check out our orphanage. But they don't come and tell you that they are checking out. They send villagers in and then tell them, report. What food do they eat? And they will come in the morning when the children are going to school. Report. Were they Do they beat the children? What kind of programs they have? Believe me, they check. And they check our work very, very carefully. For some reason, they think this is their power. To us, we're not impressed. We will do our part. Absolutely. Of course, there will be people who will... We found that people all the way up to Mizoram in India were using our Bethany name, orphanage name, to collect funds. They tell them, you know, our orphanage is so well run and all that, you know, the reason why it's so well run is because we're giving them the support. Please give us your support. So they ask me, what should we do? And you tell the pastor there, you stop it. They will try every means possible. And they will tell them, all these years, they have never received a dollar support from anywhere else except from Bethany. This has been our special source of joy. You know, we have seen, when we were there, when I was there last week, the report came back. It says, don't come up here right now. 1.5 foot of water, the whole place is flooded. This has been hit by a monsoonal rain, which is totally unexpected. I had to make some changes along the way, because we were pushing the cars on the road. It was that bad. You know, we will always see this. On the one hand, the greatness of God. On the other hand, total insignificance of man. And I'm just suddenly realizing just how frail, how fragile we really are. No matter what. Just one little time on earth called a shadow. No matter how strong we may be, we are without God, without hope. You know, as I face this thing here, I am even more determined. I want to teach this course on the subject of a living sacrifice by speaking to you, you know, openly, frankly, because that's what it takes. My hope, my prayer, is that we will be able to catch a glimpse of how beautiful it really can be if we can emulate what we read here in 1 Chronicles 29. There is David in all his humility. David, with all his preparation, all his provision, and all he can say, all this abundance we have prepared to build your house. And we do it because of uprightness of heart. You know, it is wonderful to be able to do this. I hope that we can and we will attempt to go deeper. Because if we can catch this, if we can know God, we can really, really know God, then we will find that somewhere, somehow, we will find a motivation that will see us provide, see us prepare, see us give, see us serve the Lord in a way that is just absolutely out of this world. Think about this. This God is so great, He doesn't need us. We are but shadows. I'm just so reminded. I can't. You ask me to sing, I can't. You ask me to go and speak for long, suddenly I realize that even this, I cannot. This week was supposed to be a very special week, this coming week. For some months, actually for some time, actually since last year actually, Thomas Zettel has been, Thomas Zettel is one of Burmese young men studying in Philippines. He's been telling one of the sponsors and one of the helpers there about Bethany. And this man, a businessman, was so impacted. He said, I would like to see your Pastor Charlie. He's flying in this Tuesday for 3 days. Just to come and say hello to me. And to see the work we are doing. What will he see? A shadow. What will he see? Nothing. It's God. On the one hand. Many people are impressed and impacted by what they see, what they hear. You know, we come to the point in our life when all the vagaries of life, all the challenges of life help us to realize that we have got nothing to offer God. And if we can serve God by offering ourselves as a living sacrifice, we would have caught a principle, a powerful living principle of living effectively and serving mightily for God. And it is this that we want to learn. So, during the week, I've just written to Thomas that I'm afraid I would not be able to spend as much time as I would like. And now we want to do what we can to encourage this man's heart. He's a 63-year-old man. And we just want to encourage his heart to go and serve the Lord where he is in the Philippines. But you know, our story of love for the Lord, our story of faith in God, our story of our knowledge of God, our story of helping people everywhere we can is being blessed by God. And lives are touched. Lives are blessed. Because we practice this principle of being a living sacrifice for God. And I hope that we will be greatly challenged and encouraged to learn, to study very carefully what this principle really means. Friday, Saturday. Okay? Let's prepare our hearts and our minds. Let's pray together. Our Father, we pray that you will help us to recognize that we are but aliens on this earth. And we are but pilgrims and a short journey that we have on this earth. Help us, Lord, to be filled with your greatness, with your majesty, your power. I pray that you would help us to be as deeply motivated as David was. I pray that you would bless us as we take time to ponder what we have heard today. Help us look forward to the retreats coming up on Friday and Saturday. We pray that you will raise up from amongst us here people who are willing to truly become living sacrifices for the glory of God. We pray for your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for being here. We will see you on Friday because tomorrow was